Hello, and welcome to Delivering Miracles, a podcast to give moms like you strategies and tips to have a safer pregnancy so you can bring home a healthy baby. I'm your host and your high-risk pregnancy expert, Parijat Deshpande. Welcome to the Delivering Miracles podcast, where we help moms with high-risk pregnancies have healthy babies. I'm Parijat Deshpande, your high-risk pregnancy expert, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. 1 in 8 couples struggle with infertility, and that number is so staggering, and it's only getting higher every year. But still, there is so much shame and stigma in talking about it, which is hard to understand when there's so many of us that are going through it. So that's why we're talking about it today. So if you're considering fertility treatment like taking Clomid or doing an IUI or doing IVF, this one's for you. Now, I confess, before we even started trying for a family, I knew I would need help getting pregnant because of a health complication that I have, but it made me really sad that I wasn't going to be able to get pregnant naturally. So I'm here to tell you today to allow yourself to grieve the loss of how you build your family. Loss isn't just about a death, but it's really the loss of a dream too, and that's okay. You may have had these ideas of when you'd get pregnant, how you'd get pregnant, how you'd find out that you're pregnant, and or even how far apart you want to space out your kids. But facing infertility and having to go through fertility treatment really shatters those dreams, and it can make you feel really sad and bring up a lot of really big emotions. So give yourself the time and space that you need to grieve that loss of that dream and of how you build your family. When I first met my reproductive endocrinologist, I was really nervous. I didn't really know what an RE was. I didn't know what he was going to say. And even though I knew the first appointment was just a consultation and we were just going to talk, I didn't know what to expect. And it really left me on edge when I walked into that office for the first time. I remember my husband and I sat there across from my doctor. He has this really beautiful wooden desk in his office. And we just sat there, and even before he opened up my medical chart, he looked at me and he goes, "You're so young for being here." And I wanted to mention that because age doesn't determine whether you experience fertility challenges or not. I was in my late 20s when I approached him and when we did fertility treatment. And while, yes, the older you are, the more impact your fertility has. But that doesn't mean that if you're young, that you are immune to fertility challenges. So if you are young and you're thinking about fertility, infertility, and you're wondering, gosh, what's wrong with me? Why am I having to do this so early? Just know that you're not alone and it can happen to anyone at any time. So we had that conversation and we decided to do IVF about a year later, about a year after we met him. And it made my head spin. And not just for the hormones or the reasons you might think, but there was so much information. I mean, there's literally a calendar that you have to follow for somewhere between 4 to 8 weeks. There's an injection training that you have to do with a nurse where the nurse teaches you how to administer different types of injections because no, there wouldn't be just one type of injection. There's multiple. And there's so many medications to stay on top of. And what I didn't even know is that a lot of those medications you can't even get at your regular pharmacy. There are actually specialty pharmacies, which I didn't even know about until I went through this experience, that you have to get this medication from, and then you have to monitor it and be on top of it, make sure you're taking them all at the right time, at the right doses, and all of that. And on top of all of that, you've got like 9 billion doctor's appointments to go to. Literally, my whole world revolved around doctor's appointments. I wouldn't commit to anything at work or with friends or even forget about date nights with my husband until we looked at our IVF calendar to see what's going on and do we have an appointment coming up. And it was just exhausting. I mean, it's a lot of information. It's super overwhelming. And talk about making family building as clinical as it can possibly be. every day, I still did those injections though. Did the injections, I took the medications, and my husband would measure out the doses of a particular injection that I had to do daily for a little while. He looked like a mad scientist, to be really honest with you. I actually have a picture of him kneeling by the nightstand with the tissues all out and the alcohol swabs and the needles and the syringes, and he's just looking so intently at the medications that he was trying to measure out for me. And I loved that he was so involved. I mean, I just appreciated it so much to know that we are going through this together, especially because he was really squeamish about this kind of stuff. I remember a time before when we started the progesterone shots. Now, if you know anything about progesterone shots, you know that shot, that needle it's a big fat needle that you need to be very careful with. In the injection training, the nurse told him, be careful, make sure you don't nick a blood vessel, otherwise she's going to bleed. And it just freaked him out completely. And so before the first one that he did, I was standing there waiting for him because you have to inject it in your hip. And I could have done it myself, but it was a little easier if somebody else did it just by the angle of it all. So I was standing there waiting for him and he's like, all right, here I go. Okay, I'm going to do it now. Okay, now really, really this time I'm going to do it. And every time I'm like, okay, do it already. I don't know. This is torture. I don't know when you're going to do it. I literally told him, I was like, you realize I'm the one that's taking this injection, right? I don't understand why this is so hard for you. And he turned around to look at him and the poor guy had sweat coming down the side of his face. He was so nervous because he didn't want to hurt me. So I so appreciated him just being involved and being right there with me. I mean, this whole process is not easy for anybody, you, your partner, anyone. It's really, really hard. And it comes up in ways that you don't really even realize, or at least I hadn't predicted it, because it interferes with so many different aspects of your life. So about probably a third or halfway through our cycle, we had to go to a birthday party for one of my friends at a restaurant. We were there, we were hanging out with friends and chatting with people. And as it happens every single day, my phone was buzzing constantly. People were like, are you getting a lot of phone calls? Like, what's going on with work? What's going on? They were reminders for taking my medications, and it was time for one of my injections. So I decided to go and do it in my car because it felt really weird to do it in a public bathroom. And so my husband was very sweet, and he came and sat in the car with me, and he was kind of looking around, like making sure there are no cops coming in and watching, like, why are they pulling out needles in a car? And I pulled out the little case that the injection was in and got everything ready and injected myself in my stomach in the passenger seat of my car. And I looked at my husband and I was like, God, what's happened to our life? What is this? I mean, there are people all over the world who can just look at their partners and they get pregnant. And we're having to sit in a car and I have to inject myself in the middle of my friend's birthday party. I was bloated. I was uncomfortable. I was cranky and I was shooting myself up in a car, hoping that I could have a baby someday to bring home. It just drove me crazy that this was our reality. And I knew it would be because of my health condition, but still, when you're going through it, you're just like, why? Why does it have to be so hard? So we went into the restaurant afterwards, and I just wasn't in the mood anymore. You know, I didn't want to hang out with people and pretend everything's great and live this life that I wasn't living right now. And it's, you know, the hard thing too was being around all these friends who were our age at a similar stage in their life, and it just felt like we were the only ones going through it. And that loneliness and that isolation and that, I'll be honest, that shame of what's wrong with my body that I can't do something that's supposedly so natural, it just really sucks the life out of life. So, you know, I got through that evening, but the next day, we decided to have a long conversation about this because we were on a long road and we both knew that continuing down this path of just feeling so miserable or feeling so overwhelmed, it wasn't helping anybody. And so we sat on the sofa and we just had a long conversation about how hard this is. We both took turns talking about how much we hated certain aspects of it. And it was a really cathartic venting session. It was so nice to do that with my partner who was going through this with me in his own way. And then my husband said something that I'll never forget that I'm so appreciative that he said, which was, what would our lives be like if this works out? What would our lives be like if I did get pregnant and we got to bring this baby home? And we just had a moment where we laughed together and we thought, well, yeah, that's true. We haven't thought about that before, actually, because you get so caught up in the medications and the calendar and just keeping things on track that you sometimes forget to look at the bigger picture. And so we gave ourselves permission that day to just imagine. And we laughed about things that we knew about this future baby already, that he had to have curly hair because both of us have curly hair. And we joked about how we're going to knock down our doctor's door if he doesn't have curly hair, because what embryo did you transfer into us? And we knew that the baby had to have dimples because we both have dimples. And we joke about, I hope he gets your stubbornness, or she's going to get your incessant talking genes, or I hope he's as funny as you are, which all of these things actually ended up being true. My son is all of these things, which is awesome. But it helps us to stay focused on the end result. And it really lightened the mood amongst everything else that we were going through and what we were experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And that it gave us a reason to laugh. And that laughter and that joy is so good for your health. And it's so good for your fertility because it reduces stress, which improves your fertility. And you get to experience it when you make room for that positivity. And the only way to do that is to allow yourself to grieve that loss of how you build your family. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I just want to focus on the positive. I don't want to focus on the grief and the sadness because that just feels bad. And I completely agree with you. It feels awful to recognize that your dreams of how you wanted to build your family aren't your reality. It's awful. I know that. But here's what I also know. Stress impacts ovulation, fertilization, and implantation. In fact, a Japanese study that was done recently found that about 40% of women with fertility problems were actually clinically depressed or anxious even before they started fertility treatment. And it's not just for women. Stress also impacts men, as high levels of stress have been shown to lower testosterone levels, which affects sperm quality. And it all ties into grief, because that unmanaged grief about those shattered dreams or those broken dreams of how you wanted to build your family, that grief releases that stress hormone and it impacts both you and your husband and your ability to have children. So if you're putting in all this time and effort and energy to try to get pregnant, this is one aspect of it that you don't want to forget. Now, if you want to do everything you can to get pregnant, you do have to allow yourself to grieve that loss of how you build your family. So you might be wondering, well, how do I do that? I can't just talk about it all the time. So I have three ideas that I want to share with you on how to feel more empowered about your fertility journey by creating room for those happy times that are to come. Number one is to take turns. Number two is to journal. Number three is to remind yourself that the choice is yours. And you know what? I'll just give you a fourth one. Have fun. So I'm going to break those down for you in just a second. So first is to take turns. Take a moment to talk with your partner about what's hard about this experience. You know, just the way that my husband and I did the night after the birthday party. You take turns. You take time, you know, you start talking about what's hard for you, and he's going to listen, and then he's going to talk, and then you just listen. And it's a great way to connect with each other, and you'll be surprised by each other's experience. You know, when we did these kinds of conversations all the time throughout our fertility journey. And the first time that we had this conversation, I was assuming that my husband's difficulties or struggles were around the fact that we weren't able to connect with each other the way that I know he really likes to and he really looks forward to, and that everything had become so clinical. But when I sat down and really listened to him, what he shared was such a surprise to me. He said that the hardest thing for him is seeing what I have to go through physically, and that he doesn't have any control over that, and he feels helpless at protecting me from the pain and the discomfort that comes with fertility treatment. And I was so surprised. I had no idea that that's what was bothering him. And I wouldn't have known that had we not had that conversation. So it's a really great way to process what's going on by taking turns and having that conversation. The second is journaling. So it's a really fantastic way to process your grief. And one of the greatest ways to start is by, you know, opening up a Word document or a blog or grab a notebook and answer this one question. What is one word that describes today? Just one word. And then describe it as if you're explaining it to someone who's never experienced it before. But the key is to do it without judgment. It doesn't matter whether you should be feeling this way or not. You just are. So take it as the truth and go through that description. For me, for example, a lot of times I felt really jealous. I would hear about my friends who told me, hey, yeah, we're thinking about starting a family. And then just a few weeks later, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. And I got really jealous of that. Why is it so easy for you and it's not easy for me? And so that jealousy would reside in my, I'd feel it in my chest. It'd feel tight. My face would feel hot. I'd have all these thoughts that were really self-blaming, really self-critical. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do that? And by processing it that way, I was able to put a name to the emotion, which makes it less scary. It makes it more manageable and it makes it more predictable. And it gives you that room to for the happiness that will come. We don't know what form it's going to come in, but it will come. The third thing you want to do is to remind yourself that the choice is yours. It's really easy to feel like you're trapped and you have no choices when you're facing infertility. You feel like you're at the mercy of your medications, your doctor, science, appointments, but you have to remember that you are in control. You can say stop whenever you want. You can take a break whenever you want. That's your choice. And so one way to make sure that you're making that conscious choice every single time is, for example, every time you take a pill or every time you're doing an injection, before you do it, take a deep breath and notice what's happening in that moment using all of your senses. Take in what you can see, what you can smell, what you can feel, what's going on in your body, to really bring yourself into the present moment. And in that moment, remind yourself, and you can do it out loud too. It's a really powerful way to remind yourself that this is the path you've chosen for yourself and that you can pause, stop, or change it anytime. But this is your choice. And the last one that I just kind of threw in there at the last minute is to have fun, which we forget to do. Everything gets really serious and it gets really worrisome and really stressful. So it's your responsibility with your partner to make a conscious decision to have fun and counter the madness that's fertility treatment. So the question I have for you is, what brings you pleasure? And then to do that. For my husband and I going through this, we love hiking and we love really good brunch. So sometimes we'd connect the two together. We'd go on a really great hike. We'd find a new place we haven't been before. And then ahead of time, we would have done all this research on where's a really great place for us to go for brunch. And then we'd connect that together and we'd go out. Or we love watching movies. And so we would make sure to schedule regular movie nights together. And that really brought us both a lot of pleasure. And so it's important to do that for yourself as an individual and to do it as a couple. In all of this, though, remember that your path to a healthy baby requires you to be healthy and happy. So allow yourself to grieve that loss of how you're building your family so you can make room for that happiness, so that grief isn't taking up all that space. And one of my favorite parts about doing this podcast is hearing from you, my listeners. So we're going to do an Ask Barijat segment now about this very topic. So if you have any questions about high-risk pregnancies going forward, please send them to me at podcast@barijatdeshpande.com, and I'd love to answer them for you. So today's question comes from Tanya. Hi, Tanya. So Tanya writes, hi, my husband and I have been trying the last year by tracking when I'm ovulating and peeing on the stick and all that jazz and still haven't gotten pregnant. Do we need now to see a fertility specialist? I've been dreading going because so many of my girlfriends had difficult times with it. What should I do? What are the next steps, Tanya? Tanya, thank you so much for sending this question out, and my heart goes out to you. I know how hard it is to be trying for so long and waiting month after month to see that positive pregnancy test and to not see it, and that's really, really hard. So thank you for sharing that. Here's the truth. Yes, you do have to go see a fertility specialist. You've been trying long enough on your own. I don't know how old you are, but after a certain age, you can actually go even as early as 6 months to see a fertility specialist. If you're like me, when I knew there was already a health problem that was going to impact my fertility, you can go right away. But the thing is, you have to go because it's really important that you know what your choices are. Now, I want you to remember that this is your choice, though. You don't have to do anything that your doctor recommends, especially if it doesn't feel right to you, but you do need to be informed about what your choices are so you don't waste more time doing things that may or may not be working for you. So I recommend, yes, calling your insurance company, finding a fertility specialist. You can ask your obstetrician for a referral and go and have that consultation. See what your doctor is going to recommend. Likely it's going to be additional testing to see what else is going on. And once you have all the information, you can decide how you want to proceed or not proceed. It's completely your decision with your partner. But again, Tanya, I just want to take a moment and say good for you for asking this question and being proactive about your fertility. You were doing a really great job of asking the right questions. And I think now you know that now's the right time to go get more help. And I really just wish you all the best on your family building journey. Now, if you heard Tanya's question, you probably heard what she really was saying underneath all of that, which is, I don't want to have to need a fertility specialist. Tanya's grieving just like I was about going to a fertility specialist, needing interventions, and not being able to get pregnant naturally. So if you're like me or Tanya, give yourself that time and space to grieve that loss of how you have to build your family. It's important to you and it's important to your future pregnancy and baby. You deserve to have the family of your dreams. And when you can't build it the way that you had imagined or hoped for, it can bring so much sadness. Allow yourself that time, that space. Give yourself that permission to grieve that loss of how you imagined you would build your family, because that's how you're going to make room for that happiness. Don't include and have that grief spill into that space, because the happiness is coming. Before I leave you, I want to share with you this beautiful Sufi proverb that I just found the other day that says, when the heart weeps for what is lost, the soul laughs for what is found. That's what we're getting at today. Give yourself that time to grieve. Because once the happiness comes, you can feel it so fully and so beautifully, and you can be so immersed in that after everything that you've been through. You deserve that. Thank you so much for joining me here today. If you want to know more about fertility, how to get pregnant, how to stay pregnant after fertility treatment, visit my website at varijatdeshpande.com. And I'd love to stay in touch with you. So follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Both handles are Parijatdesh, PARIJATDESH. I'd love to see you there. I know this is a difficult time as you hold your breath waiting to find out if you'll have a baby to bring home at the end of this. Give yourself time to grieve that loss of how you build your family so you can make room for the happiness that is to come. Take it one day, one step at a time. You can do this.